Hello, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. How are you doing? This is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. I hope you had a good week last week, and I hope everything is going well for you. I am doing okay. I've got a lot of things I got to tell you about. So you are co-creator gods in the making. You know, there's no other way around it. Every time I think about it, you know, we could die. I'm not a morbid person. You know, I'm not suicidal in any way. I'm a very loving, kind guy, but I'm also very intelligent. I think, you know, my soul also is very evolved. And I think that, you know, we are here for a very special reason. And we do have that capability of dying. Sometimes I feel like I'm invincible. How about you? But no. You know, we're here, and we know that. We see it all the time. You remember that song by Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper? It talks about, like, every day around the world, 40,000 people are dying, people just like you and me. So where are they all going to, you know? The thing is that there is no death, really. It's just a continuation. You cross over to, like, another side, crossing over, you know? And so, but there's more to it than that. We are here, like going through a school in the University of the Universe, and the object is to graduate with honors. And you do that by developing yourself spiritually so that you can continue to be born again on another planet in the universe. And if you don't think there's life out there, well, you're like a fifth grader, you know, and you need to go through some more grades before you finally realize, hey, you know, Blake was right, you know, or everyone else is right. There is life out there. I don't need proof. You know, I can figure it out in my own mind, you know. For one thing, as I've said before, and I love saying it, I'll say it again, all this life on Earth, over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish and in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes, over 10,000 types of birds, reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians. I'm talking about little bodies, different, so many different legs, eyes. Oh, eyes, they have eyes that can see, even little flies, tiny, small, little insects, eyes that can see just like you and me, and some with wings, metabolism, reproductive systems. It's amazing. Over 5,000 types of mammals. Think of all the different types of flowers and trees and the fruits and vegetables. If all this happened by accident, logically, it could happen by accident anywhere in the universe. Yeah? But if there is a creator of the universe, who we should be praying to, why not? You know, we're related to the creator of the universe. If the creator of the universe is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all this life on Earth, then logically, the creator is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create either the same or different life in ways we can't even imagine or comprehend anywhere in the universe. That's logical, my friends. Yes. So there you go. There is life out there. We don't need proof. We don't need E.T. to land in our backyard with his souped up UFO capable of traveling really fast speeds. No, we don't need E.T. to get out in here. Here's a piece of metal. It's from our planet. You can show people on your Earth that you can make lots of money. The next thing they're going to say is, oh, some very clever alchemist that did that. No way. We don't believe that E.T. gave you that piece of metal. Or any pictures that you might have of a flying saucer, all very carefully and cleverly, what do they call that, photography, you know. You know what I mean. But anyway, what a week, I'll tell you. My wife was involved in a car accident the other day. And it was Thursday. I had the day off because I had a sleep study. I went to a sleep study Wednesday night. So I'm waiting for my wife to come to this restaurant. She calls me up just as I'm sitting down in the restaurant. She said, honey, I'm in a car accident. I'm down here on Russo. That's the name of the street. So I go there. This woman was trying to make a U-turn in front of my wife. Right? So you're coming down the road. The speed limit is 35, right? Like my wife was. And it's a single lane, but there's also kind of like a bike lane. So this lady decides to make this U-turn. She swings into this parking lot to the right, the entrance of this parking lot, you know, to execute her turn. So the car goes into the parking lot, and she's actually making a left turn. It's there, so you can call it a U-turn slash left turn. She must have not even seen my wife because she did that turn. She hit my wife in the right rear of the car. Like she didn't even see her, you know, because if she'd seen her, she could have applied the brakes. But no, she banged the, crunched in the right rear tire, the right rear quarter panel of my wife's relatively new 2019 Toyota Highlander. It's still worth about $40,000. And damaged the left front of her car. And so we were waiting there for the police to come. And it took about an hour and a half. And the policeman, well, he didn't take anybody's side, but he said, did you swerve? He asked my wife, did you swerve to avoid her? Well, yes. Well, that seemed to change his mind about who was at fault. And afterwards, I was thinking, what would you have done? You know, I would have swerved. Yeah, sometimes there's nothing else you can do. You know, you're going like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, dang. Boom. You know, oh, she didn't see her, obviously. So the car was towed to the collision place, you know, and now we got to wait for the claim adjusters to contact my wife. And I was telling Jackie, there's just no way I could see that it was your fault because you had the right of way going down that street, right? 35 miles an hour. The lady, she had to yield to you, you know. She executed an unsafe U/left turn. And she hit you. She hit you. You didn't hit her. She hit you by on the right rear of the car. She hit you. She's at fault. Period. Case closed. They're waiting to hear back. But the lady, and she had a daughter that showed up right away. And kind of coincidentally, the lady, the daughter of this lady who was driving the car that hit my wife, had a shirt on that said Caliber Collision, you know, like I thought, well that was kind of quick, you know. She called her on the phone, showed up right away, and she parked the car right in front in the street, stuck in traffic. And afterwards, they were over there laughing, and my stepdaughter showed up, and she was saying, you know, I don't see what's so funny. I said, neither do I. What are they laughing at? Come on. Anyway. So what else has been going on this week? I went into work. Things are pretty much getting back to normal here in San Antonio. It's hot. Right now it's about 95 degrees. Back to those lazy, hazy, crazy, super hot days of summer where it bakes here in San Antonio. But I love it. You know, it's great. Yes. I do miss that refreshing kind of slap in the face cold weather, you know, the really cold water in the shower, because that's all I take is cold showers. You know, one, I think my record for days in a row of cold showers is 460 days. That's through the wintertime, which isn't too bad here in San Antonio. And the reason, my friends, you might be wondering, why does he take only cold showers? Well, I'm 66 years old, going on 67 in August, and I decided to do me a lot of research on the internet. They say that there's a lot of benefits involved with taking cold showers, to include an increased circulation, better breathing, increased testosterone, increased immune system. It's good for reducing the soreness of any exercises that you had just done, like running. That's why you've heard of like basketball players, they get into cold baths, or sprinters, runners, you know, they have a cold bath. Katharine Hepburn, a very famous Hollywood actress, believed in cold showers, the power of cold showers and cold baths, and she took them all her life. And she was a very successful actress. Audrey Hepburn, her sister, too. I think that was her sister. Other people, too. Can check it out. It's also called The Art of Manliness. It can kind of have to have some courage to get in a cold shower, especially in the morning, you know. They say it helps you sleep better at night too. So, but don't take it from me. Especially don't do it if you might have some health problems. Check your doctor first so I don't get in trouble. But if you're interested, read about it on the internet, the Art of Manliness. There's several benefits. I mentioned some and even more. And the thing about hot water is that it can dry your skin, can dry your hair. So if you want to look young and healthy going into your older age, then think about taking cold showers. And remember back in the old days, they didn't have hot showers, you know, and they used to bathe in under a cold waterfall or, you know, a cold lake. There was no such thing as water heaters back then, you know, so they had to tough it out. And it'll make you tough, you know. Sounds good. What else is going on? Let me see. I'm going to read to you from a book today. Because, you know, E.T.'s out there. I really would like to make contact with E.T. before I die, either before my lifetime, before the end of my lifetime. I wish we could, you know. We're just stuck in a mire. Here we are, just like the people of Earth back in Columbus's day. They thought the world was flat, you know, people just like you and me. And also, back in Copernicus' day, they thought the whole universe revolved around the planet Earth, around our world, right? Right? But no, actually, Copernicus said, our world revolves around the sun. The sun is the center of the solar system. Yes, it's that world on fire, the very special fire of God. And your spirit, which is in your body, is made of light energy, can live in fire, my friends. That's why you've heard of some people going to hell and burning in lake fire, lava fire down there. They do. Yes, that's right. They do. It's very possible if you're a bad, bad person. But don't be a bad, bad person, my friends. Be a good person. Develop yourself spiritually, or you might find yourself in God's jail, otherwise known as hell, where the devil, Archangel Lucifer, none other than Archangel Lucifer, who works for God. That's right. He gets his paycheck signed by God, created by God. God didn't make any mistakes in creating Archangel Lucifer. He didn't know that he was going to rebel and terrorize mankind. No, it didn't work that way. You see, the Creator doesn't make mistakes. He knows in advance. He can look into the future, you know, like hundreds of years. And he creates something that's imperfect. Well, it just doesn't happen. So he would have known, God, he, she, I have to say, would have known in advance if her creation was going to do something like rebel or terrorize mankind. If I was God and I created something, which wouldn't have happened, imperfectly, and this being rebelled, I would have, hey, you know, you're bothering my people. You're terrorizing them. You're causing them to do some weird stuff, you know, negativity. That's not good. You know what, devil? I think I'm going to snuff you out in an instant. I'm going to snap my fingers and you're gone. I'll replace you with a better version of somebody who's going to be in charge of the demons in my jail, otherwise known as hell. And Archangel Michael, well, he's good. He's a good boy. He's looking after the regular angels, the virtues, the dominions, the principalities, the seraphims and the cherubims. Oh, yeah, Archangel Michael's in charge of them, but Archangel Lucifer is in charge of the demons. Got it? Yeah. You see, you just can't think that the Creator makes mistakes, my friend. He's not like you. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I was saying that, yeah, the spirit is made of light energy, and you have a spirit. When you close your eyes at night and go to sleep, don't you remember seeing something? Even with your eyes closed. Dreams. Strange dreams. Invade my sleep at night. Strange dreams. They make me feel all right. Well, I go all places in my dreams. I can even fly. I've flown in my dreams before. But it's true, they're very bizarre. That song I just sang you is from Frank Marino. Ladies and gentlemen, the best guitarist, one of the best guitarists in the world, and best singers, and I've just discovered this, is Frank Marino, M-A-R-I-N-O. and Mahogany Rush is his band. He is an excellent guitarist. You'll love to hear. If you're a guitar aficionado like I am, you know, Eddie Van Halen fan, Joe Satriani fan, Jeff Beck fan, then you will like Frank Marino. Plus, he's got a great voice. The only problem is that he's on the anti-establishment kind of role, you know, in the songs. The words kind of knock down the establishment, you know, criticizing people, which is not good. So you're not going to be played too much by mainstream media, or mainstream radio. But he did have some hit songs. One was called Dragonfly. Check that out. Dragonfly is a pretty cool song. And so is Strange Dreams. And he did like over 20 studio albums. And he is awesome. I look at him, watch him all the time on YouTube. And that's usually what I watch nowadays instead of television, you know, because I can control everything I want to see. And if I want to see anything, I change the channel. I don't need anybody to show me something and then get stuck in commercials. Now, don't get me wrong. Commercials, I understand they have to happen because they pay for the television stations. You know, they pay big money. You know they do. But sometimes I don't need to see the same commercials over and over and over again, like it's brand new, like I'm seeing it the first time. No, that's an insult to my intelligence, you know. Okay, I get it. You know, State Farm, Allstate, whomever, AT&T, all these big money companies, you know, it's cool. They can do their own thing. They just don't need me. Just leave me alone, you know. And if I want to buy something, I'll check it out on the Internet. I mean, you keep on doing what you want to do, but just let me do my thing, you know. Yeah, I understand. And these actors that make commercials, you know, that's cool. They get a job. They make their money with these commercials. My son's trying to get a job being in a commercial. You know, you break into the mainstream television movies, you know, you need little gigs like that to get to where you're going, to get in front of the public eye. And it's all cool. But, you know, I'm getting kind of old for that. It's like my mother, the way she was. We'd be watching TV, you know. I used to hang out with them in their older days, you know, when I realized, hey, my mother and father are my best friends in the world, you know. And when they pass away, I don't want to be not smart enough to realize that, you know, I could be having a good time with them now, and then we can bond even better, because when they pass away, there's just no time to do that, to bury the hatchet, you know, to catch up on those old days when you were mad at them or whatever because you were too childish. Because they're your best friends, you know, they made you, they helped you. When you were younger, they molded you, they shaped you, they raised you. And you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So be nice to your parents. And if you need to have a little forgiveness, do it before they die, or else you're going to regret it. I'm telling you. Stop being a stubborn co-creator God in the making, okay? Can't tell you anything. So stubborn. Bury that hatchet, you know. You don't want to be showing up on their deathbed. I'm sorry that I didn't visit you more often. I'm sorry that I didn't give you more hugs and kisses. I know that you're my bestest friend in the whole world. And, oh, please don't die. Oh, dang. So I bonded with my parents. My mother, she used to have the remote control in her hand and television, you know, be watching whatever show. We'll go to a commercial, she just automatically hit the mute button. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now you can see, okay, well, let me see their Gain laundry detergent. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to buy some of that. That's some pretty good stuff, but I don't need to hear about it again, again, and again. What else? What else? So these ETs, they're out there, right? Is there anything I can say, anything I can do to help make contact? I don't know. I've been doing it now for many shows, many moons now, my friends. As the Indians would say, many moons in the past. Many moons have come and gone since I've had my show on BBS Radio. Many moons, and tonight there will be a moon. Go out and look at the moon. There could be a mothership behind it, my friends. A mothership about a mile wide. All these little flying saucers, UFOs, they probably, well, they're just one of some of many, you know, that have either still visiting us or have visited us before in the past. You know, you got to be intelligent. Like the pyramids in Egypt, I got into a debate with someone, and I said, you know, it's very possible that the slaves back then could have made those pyramids with logs and rope, you know, and haul them up 600 feet above the ground, you know, cut them so perfectly, those 50-ton rocks, you know. I'm sure that was very possible to do. And I said, I don't think so. I think they had anti-gravity technology back then. They were visited by civilizations, probably those ones with dog heads, you know. So that's the way evolution is, my friend. They're going to have a dog, a cat, a reptilian. You ever heard of the reptilians? They're out there. Evolution, yeah. But reincarnation, don't tell me that reincarnation is not true. It is. Don't be a fifth grader on me, okay? Because you're going to know later on. When you, one day, hopefully, way, way far in the future, not tomorrow, when you cross over to the other side, then you're going to know everything all of a sudden, because then you get your past life memories back. I'm going to take a drink of water. A drink of water on a hot day. Yes, sir. Get your past life memories back, and all of a sudden you have access to universal knowledge. Mark my words, if you're listening to me right now on this radio show, you'll come and see me in heaven. I've heard what you said. When we pass over, when we cross over to heaven, the spirit lands, we have access to universal knowledge, and all our past life memories come back. So how many past lives have you had? I had 26, which is really not too many. There are some that have had 200. Maybe you have 80 past lives, you know. You might have been a queen, a female, you know, if you're male. It's possible to have be a member of the opposite sex in a past life. You were queen. You had people that you were in charge of. You did a great job, but all of a sudden you were pregnant, and you had a difficult pregnancy, and the baby was coming out sideways, and you died. And that was one life. And maybe in another life you were a carpenter, and you lived a very meager life, you know, just hand to mouth, just barely making it. But you lived to be 80 years old, and it was a good life on the planet somewhere in the large Magellanic Cloud galaxy. And maybe in another life you were a monk living in a cathedral in some planet in the P51 galaxy, you know, or maybe even the Milky Way galaxy. Maybe in another life you were a fisherman. Again, just a meager living off the ocean, you know, catching fish, living in a straw hut on the side of the shore, you know. You raised a family, you had four children, and maybe you got eaten by a lion, you know, or a crocodile, and you only lived to be 30 years old. There's all kinds of scenarios, and I'm just made some up. But, and so it goes, my friends, you know, time. Just like Einstein said, time is a continuum. It's not a yesterday, tomorrow kind of thing. It's a continuum where the world is rotating on its axis, and we have cycles of day and night, night, day. Time continues. There is no tomorrow. There's no yesterday. It's just a continuation of time. We are in the now, my friend, now, present, time, now, right now. Where were you yesterday? If you want to use the word yesterday, you were right now, then. Or tomorrow, you'd be then, right then. Now, right now. Yeah, now. So that's the way it goes, you see. Even Janis Joplin, who was a really whiskey rock and roller, you know, and she would zone out on drugs and her favorite whiskey, Southern Comfort. And she was very philosophical, though. May God bless her soul. I'm sure she's in the spirit lands now, unless she's reincarnated on another planet. Just think of all the rock and rollers that have gone to the spirit lands, you know, heaven, if you will. Jimi Hendrix, who some say is the best guitarist ever. But you know what? I beg to differ. I think Frank Marino, he's got some Jimi Hendrix tunes that he plays, like All Along the Watchtower, Purple Haze, The Wind Cries Mary. He is as good as Jimi Hendrix, in my opinion, yes. Take it from me. If you believe in me, Believe what I'm saying. Who else? Jim Morrison of the Doors. He died. I think he died at 27. There's some, like, several that died at 27. Amy Winehouse. I really didn't know about her. But I heard she was pretty good. Still haven't heard much of her music. And who else? Jim Croce. Okay, what's that? You said you want to hear me sing a song, Jim Croce song? Is that? Oh, okay. You got it. I heard that as a request for Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle. Here we go. Are you ready? If I could say time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is save every day till eternity passes away just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, word could make wishes come true. I'd save every day just like a treasure, and then again, I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've been around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes, dreams that had never come true, that box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. Been around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hear the applause. It's great. Thank you. It's so kind, so loving. Thank you very much. Thank you. I love you too. All the birds are here. They're all flying around here. Hey, that was pretty good. Pretty good. Not as good as me. I can sing my song really nice. Billy, there's a sparrow over there on the rooftop chirping away like, yeah, good job. Two little sparrows in the tree right out front here in the backyard going like, okay, what's next? You going to sing any more? No, I think I'll take a break right now, buddy. So, yes, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of... who was the other guy that died? Buddy Holly, you know? What was one of the Buddy Holly songs? So I'm trying to remember. This could be the day that I die. And Peggy Sue. Oh, oh, Peggy Sue. And Richie Valens. And Eddie Van Halen. What about him? You know, and Bon Scott, AC/DC. Oh, there's a bunch of people that have passed away and gone over the other side. I know they're making great music. Michael Jackson, may God bless his soul. I know he got involved with some weird stuff there towards the end of his life, but, you know, you got to respect his contributions to the music industry, you know. He was an excellent, excellent entertainer. He could sing and dance. Oh, by the way, you know, I've got quite a large repertoire of songs, and I found that I like to sing my music hands-free. You know, check that out. Hands-free. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? It means that you're not holding a microphone in your hand. You have your hands free. That's the way you can sing better and dance, too. You can dance more when you have your hands free. If you get a microphone in your hand, you're not going to be dancing as much. I just thought I'd share that with you. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. But anyway, guess what? I got word yesterday that they had canceled our cruise in August. Carnival Cruise Lines had canceled our cruise. They've canceled like six cruises in a row now. But the good news is they rescheduled it. They rescheduled it for later in the month of August. So originally we were going to cruise from 8 through 15 August. Now they changed it to 28 through the 4th of September. And it's a different boat. It's now 7 days instead of six. We didn't have to pay an extra penny. We've got a balcony room. We're going with my stepdaughter and two grandchildren. They got their own room. We're going to have a great time. God willing, God, please be with us and help us, guide us, protect us. Oh, yes, I love cruises. And, you know, being a vegetarian, vegan, I'm more vegan than a vegetarian. I like cruises because, I love cruises because they have so much food that I can eat. And I've told you this before in other shows, you know, don't be surprised, because if you're listening for the first time, well, shame on you for not listening to my show before. What's up with that? I told you before I'm a vegan vegetarian. There's a lot. I'm not the only one in the world, you know. Come on. Don't be freaked out. So I've been a vegan since 1999. And I did it really for health reasons, but also ethical reasons, too, you know. Trying to do my part and making the planet a better place. You know what I'm saying? But it's cool. I live in a house where everyone eats everything. I ate everything until I was 44 years old. So now I'm 66. I've been a vegan for, well, 1999. It's 22 years. Going on 23 years. But, hey, alcohol. What about what up with alcohol, my friends? And I've been alcohol-free since 1988. Are you still drinking alcohol? Well, you can if you want to. I'm not going to judge you. You're a co-creator, God in the making. You know what I'm saying? You can do what you want to do. If you have a glass of wine every now and then, I don't see anything wrong with it. Problem was, I couldn't control it, you know. I had it in my genes. My father was an alcoholic. And you can blame it on the alcohol, all those bad things that you might have done like I did without going into the details. You can blame it on the alcohol. Alcohol and a demon alcohol. Well, I mean, that's when you really get blind drunk and stuff. That's when you start risking having a spirit come into your body, you know. That's a long story, man. I won't go there, but. So I gave it up because my parents were alcoholics, you know. It was understandable. They were war babies, you know. They've been through World War II. And when you have people trying to kill you, it kind of makes you bitter, you know. The bombing of London, my mother went through that. My dad was at Normandy and Dunkirk. That can make you kind of pissed off and angry at the world, you know. So all of a sudden you get, guess what, PTSD, you know, anxiety. And you go to alcohol to relieve your stress, your tensions, your bad nightmares and stuff. And it was kind of rough growing up with my parents. My dad had it really bad, you know. He was drunk all the time. And he wasn't a violent drunk. He was more of a lethargic, swearing, GD this and GD that, son of a B and B-A-S-T-A-R-D and GD this. And my mother would be yelling at him, you know, you sopping no good for nothing, low down, drunk, bum, drunken bum. And kind of funny, actually. But that's the way it was growing up in our family. Living in a secondhand smoke environment. But guess what? I made it through, and here I am. I've kicked that habit and I've kicked that generational curse in the butt, so to speak. But you know what? Every now and then I get a little bit frightened. You get frightened ever? Or are you one of these really super brave types? Ever get frightened? I'm so macho. I'm a macho man. I'm a macho woman. I don't get scared at all. No, not me. Never. Uh-uh. You won't see me getting scared. No. Mr. Trump, I like him. You know what I like about Mr. Trump? I never saw once when he was fearful. Never saw fear in his eyes. He was a good man in that regard. And I voted for him, you know. But to this day, I still don't understand why he thinks the election was stolen. If you think the election is stolen, find out. Damn it. Excuse me. Dang it. How it was stolen. Too many months have gone by. You're wasting my time talking that way. You know what I'm saying? Find out quickly. Hurry up. Come on now. You say it was stolen where? Supreme Court doesn't think so. What up with that? Come on. Wasting my time. You know? Maybe they did find out. Oh, yeah, we found, all of a sudden we found 300,000 votes in the dumpster. Or there was a machine that was counting votes, and it was broken. It changed a lot of votes from Mr. Trump to Mr. Biden. Okay, where is it? If you haven't found it yet, who's covered it up? Come on. You know, You need Sherlock Holmes to get in there and do some investigating. A Sherlock Holmes type, somebody like that. Anyway, so it's a beautiful day. And I'll tell you something, my friend. I went to the urgent care this morning. I had some wax in my ears, in my left ear specifically, because I've been wearing earplugs sleeping for many years. And the reason I do it is because I read somewhere in this book I'm about to read for you, that it's very important that we not be interrupted in our sleep, because these interruptions in our sleep can affect our mental stability. So noises, unexpected noises in the middle of the night, like a dog barking or your spouse snoring or a dog snoring or cars outside on the street or someone slamming a door in the house or the television on or a jet flying overhead, can all disturb your sleep. You know, the ideal circumstances for sleep are, excuse me, take a drink of water, a quiet room, dark, with ventilation, about maybe 68 degrees, a nice, comfortable bed. In my opinion, the best mattress is a Tempur-Pedic mattress, a nice pillow for your head, and those make up the ingredients for a good night's sleep, you know. But for about 15 years, I've been using earplugs, and I'll tell you why. Because I first started when I was living by myself in these apartments in Alexandria, Virginia. So one night, I woke up, I was on my back, and I heard my neighbor up above get out of his bed, put his feet on the floor, walk across the floor, go into the bathroom. I heard the tinkle of his pee-pee in the toilet. I heard him flush the toilet, and I heard him walk back to his bed, lie down, heard the mattress creak. And I thought to myself, no more. I've got to do something to block that noise out. You know what I'm saying? So I found these really incredible earplugs called the world's finest earplugs. They're made of clay, a clay-like material. It's got beeswax in it. And I bought those. You can buy them for maybe 12 pairs for $35. And they're moldable, and they'll fit in your ears. And they block out like 35 decibels. Well, I've been trying to get into the habit of not using them, but when I went to visit my son about 2 weeks ago in California, I was staying in a room in my son's apartment that he shares with a Hollywood actress by the name of Terry Snell, who was in Home Alone 1 and 2, the aunt. And so I had my own room, and I was sleeping without earplugs, and I thought, you know, maybe the breathing's better when you don't have earplugs. Instead of listening to yourself breathe, you know, which is what happens when you've got the earplugs in, then you're just kind of listening to, you know, the sound of the fan in the room, maybe something outside. Generally speaking, though, it was pretty quiet during the night. I heard some people talking in the morning, but it was all right. And I actually thought that I felt better. So I came back home after that week and I laid down for sleep. And it started out pretty good, but then my wife started snoring, and she has a kind of a rumble of a snore, very kind of soothing, comforting kind of snore. But after a while, it can be a little bit irritating, you know. And then we've got a little dachshund who likes to sleep up on the bed, and sometimes he'll be right by my head, and he's getting old, and He's got some pounds on his body, if you know what I mean. And he starts a snore that comes way down from his throat, and it sounds, doesn't even sound like a snore. It sounds like he's talking in his throat. And then the other dog will bark out the window. You know, we sleep with two dogs in the room. And downstairs, you got the TV on, and they might come up the stairs, and I was like, I got to put my earplugs back in. But I woke up this morning, and this has happened before. I was trying to pull my earplug out of my left ear, and for some reason, the wax kind of melted. I don't know if they're making a different kind of version of it now, but it's not as good as it was before, I think. And so some of that wax, and I was able to get it happened before, and I was able to get it out. But this morning, I couldn't get it out, and so couldn't hear out of my left ear. I went to the urgent care, and the physician's assistant, the PA there, was digging in my ear and taking out little pieces here and there, and it kind of hurt. I mean, it started bleeding after a while, and they flushed it out, and trying to get this one little piece left, and now I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do? I've got to sleep, and I really don't mind sleeping without earplugs, but you know, when you get all these noises, what can you do? I don't want to get divorced and go live by myself. I want to get divorced because I want to sleep. I don't want to hear all these noises when I'm sleeping at night. Well, it doesn't work that way. I guess I'm going to have to man up to the possibility of not being able to get a full night's sleep, restful sleep, you know. Or maybe I can just put the earplugs in partway, just a little bit, if I need to, you know. Anyway. So that's what's going on in my life. What about you? How have you been? And so my son, he's doing really good there in California. He got this gig. How am I doing on time? He's a body double, 642. He's a body double for Cal Mooney. Cal Mooney is an actor on Saturday Night Live. So Bryce kind of looks like him. And a body double is like a stunt double, you know? And so some scenes they need to superimpose my son's body on his face, or vice versa, my son's face on his body. I'm not quite sure, but he's got his own trailer. Imagine that. And this is going on now. It's been going on for a while, and he's getting paid pretty good. But that's just the beginning, and I'm praying, hoping and praying. Pray for my son, please, that he succeeds in Hollywood, because he's got a unique look. You can check him out on Facebook, Bryce Ruby, B-R-Y-C-E, Ruby, R-U-B-I-E, and on YouTube. He's got his own videos. He's trying his best to make it, you know. And he's a very brave young man. He's been through two kidney transplants. You know, I gave him one kidney back in 1995. Then he got a second kidney from his best friend's mom in Ohio in 2014. He had the operation at University of Michigan, 2nd of July, coming up to, let's see, that would be 7 years this July. So he's hanging in there tough, you know. He's a brave soul, really. And I thank God, thank the Creator for him coming down here and being my friend, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my son. So thank you, Creator, for my son, for all he's done, all he's doing. And I know he might have some rocky times ahead, you know. So to be honest with you, I just want the right thing to happen. You know, I need God to do the right thing for me, for him. And one thing that's on my mind is that I'm waiting, trying to get disability from the VA for the right kidney donation, because it happened when I was on active duty, and I've mentioned this before in previous shows. And so they said, well, you know, it happened on active duty, but it was surgery, elective surgery, so therefore we can't give you any disability for that. Well, I contacted a lawyer one time, and to make a long story short, he said, well, yes, you can get disability because you were a soldier 24/7, you know, to be sent off to war. So any body part that went missing, whether or not it was elective surgery, should still be accountable for by the Army. Or, better put it, I mean, they approved the surgery. I had to have it approved all the way to the top, the Surgeon General, my commander, and my lowest chain of command, all the way to the highest chain of command. And, really, to tell you the truth, if I hadn't have done it, I think my son might have died, because he was 10 months old at the time of the surgery, and he was on dialysis, a baby on dialysis. It's not a good thing, you know. We were being woken up all times during the night, and machines going off, you know, the dialysis machine, the calorie machine, you know, with a tube pumping high-calorie formula into his body to try to get him to fatten up for the transplant. And so we went through a rough time. The waiting time for the transplantation list was about 5 years. I don't think he could have held on for 5 years. So, in a sense, I had to do it or he would have died. So I'm waiting to get additional disability from the VA in regard to that. But yet I'm kind of, I don't want to turn people off from donating a kidney to someone, you know, because there might be some disabilities down the road. You know, now the surgeries aren't as invasive. In other words, they don't make an incision from one side to the other. I've got a huge scar on my right side where they took the kidney out. And I've got like a pouch right there compared to my other side. Now they're using less invasive means, and they can pull the kidney out through a little small hole, you know. Do it through arthroscopic surgery, I think that's the way they call it. But also, you know, they say that God made it so that humans can live on one kidney alone, and that apparently is true. You know, there has not been any long-term research, but so far so good. It looks that way. People can live normal lives, basically, with one kidney. But there are some subtle differences, you know. You kind of gravitate towards a healthier lifestyle. That's one reason why I became a vegan, vegetarian. And it seems also like there is a drop in the energy level, although you have a different kind of energy which replaces the kind of like balls to the wall, if you excuse the expression, kind of physical ability. When I was in the Army back then, I used to max the PT test. I could do 88 push-ups, 88 sit-ups in 2 minutes, run 2 miles in less than 12 minutes. Now, well, after the surgery, it felt like I had a stiff board on my side there, because the nerves had been cut. That's another thing we're claiming, too, that the nerves had been cut, so there's a loss of feeling there. And that affected the incision, affected the digestion inside, you know, when that incision kind of very subtly changed the digestive system inside. And it's not hard to imagine, you know, because now I've got this little pouch in my right side. So, and although they don't do it nowadays, still, it's not what you would call normal. But then again, I don't want to discourage people from donating kidneys, because it's a gift of life, you know. But I think, truthfully, my friends, it does come at a risk for having complications or disabilities, possibly. You know, the Army says that if you have any resulting disabilities from a kidney donation, then that's covered, that they'll give you disability for that afterwards. You know, you qualify for disability, so the actual loss of the organ might be affecting the digestive system in ways, you know, because you need really both kidneys. If there wasn't a mistake made by the Creator giving you two kidneys, you can live on one, but there was no mistake made, you know. However, the appendix, they say, serves no purpose whatsoever. And so fatigue is a disability. The costochondritis, which is like a muscle thing on the opposite side of my of my body, and the rib cage, my lower left rib cage, is affected. And you can see that when you turn, you know, if you get this huge scar from one side to the other, when you're turning from left to right, bending up and down, it does change things. In my mind of mind, in my logical state of mind, I can see that. But on the other hand, you know, I don't want to discourage people from donating a kidney. You see the quandary that I'm in. And all this is going on. The VA still has to approve some of these disabilities. So I'm kind of back and forth. And if I could give you some advice, I would say, you know, if someone's in need of a kidney and you can donate a kidney, I would do it because it's a very brave thing to do. And you will give them that gift of life. It's a lot better than being on either peritoneal or hemodialysis. And you could go down as a hero, you know, that gave a part of your body to help somebody. And then you just do your best to survive, to ensure your longevity, to have a good quality of life. You know, you might have to start drinking more water, less sugar, exercise frequently, regularly, and maybe even become a vegan, which is not too bad, you know. It reduces one's options, but it's a good lifestyle. You know, it kind of keeps your mind clean. I think, to be honest with you, my friends, my spiritual development, a lot of my spiritual development has been because of becoming vegan. And why, you might ask, is that? Well, I'll tell you. Because when you're used to eating the same thing and your body is digesting basically vegetables, you know, I don't even eat dairy products, a lot of dairy products. Some of the food has dairy products in it, or eggs. But when your digestive system is working optimally and, you know, and constipation is not a bother, I know some people are constipated, don't go taking it. Come on now, you co-creator gods in the making. Don't let me bother you or shake your faith or anything. I'm just saying that I am less constipated now being a vegan than I was before. I used to get constipated all the time. But now I'm just basically eating vegetables, you know. So if you eat vegetables, you poop out vegetables, and it's just, you know, a lot better for your system. But then you got to be careful. You get all the right vitamins and minerals and enough protein and calcium and carbohydrates and calories, you know, all that, which I've been managing okay, I think. I'm doing all right. I ran today. I went out and ran about a mile and a half. And I just love singing cadences. I'm running, so it increases the lung capacity. And so I was doing that all the way. Here we go, all the way. Gonna make it. Gonna take it. 1 mile. No sweat. Up a hill. Better yet. Hey, you, can you be like me? Infantry, I wish you was. Airborne, ranger, all the way. Sound off, rock steady, stay ready. All right, here we go. We're going to make it. Never quit, never stop, till we go. All the way, hey, hey, ho, ho, da, da, do, do. A 1, 2, 3, 4, a left, right, left, right. Out of sight. Can you be like me, infantry? I can go all the way. Fresh air, sunshine, feels good. Ought to be in Hollywood. So I'm singing that all the way. And 1 mile, mile and a half, all the way, doing that. That's what I did when I was in the Army, you know? We used to sing cadence. I was a master cadence caller in the Army. I really was. Now I'm up, just about out of time, my friends. I didn't get to talk about my ET friends out there. They're my friends also, right? And I just want to say I love them. I respect that, you know, they're more intelligent than me. They're doing the right thing. They don't want to show up and be fired upon by M1 tanks or, you know, M16s or missiles or any kind of weapon, because they could. Don't be fooled by anybody that thinks that there's a threat out there, my friends. Because these ETs, they're so advanced technologically and spiritually, but they're so advanced technologically that they could destroy us. and they could have done it before in the past, just like that. Take it from me. If you believe me, I'm telling you, because with their spacecraft traversing interstellar space, they have control of antimatter. If you know what that means, come on. And you know, just the smallest drop of antimatter, you know what happens when you release that into matter? It's like a chain reaction, and the whole planet can go up just like that in an instant. I'm serious. And so to think that there's a threat, you know, like in Star Wars, where they shoot these beams of light at each other, come on. You know, with that kind of technology, they're supposed to be in, I don't know, 22nd century, 23rd. They would have had lock-on capability and not missing left and right. You know, one, two, that's it. Boom. But they want to make a movie, you know. Supply and demand, my friends. Don't eat it up. You know, these people realize that they're actors. You know, you could be an actor, too. Why don't you try to be an actor? You'd be a good actor or actress. And these people making millions of dollars, I'm not knocking them for doing that. My son's trying to do the same, but don't be fooled by the negativity, you know. We want more real-life stories, more positive stories, true life. Everyday heroes out there, people just like you and me, regular human beings doing their thing. That's what I want to know. I don't want this fantasy violence, you know, which always comes up. They've got one coming out, War of the Worlds. Are you kidding me? These ETs out there, they could wipe us out and take over this planet because it's one of the most beautiful planets in the universe. It's a jewel of a planet. And, you know, before we were born on this planet, let me tell you something. Before we were born on this planet, we knew that coming here would be very, very hard. This is one of the most difficult planets in the universe. I'm telling you the truth. You feel it? Why? Because think of all the wars we've had in the past. And if you don't believe we've had wars in the past, then you're thinking like a fifth grader again, okay? You need to graduate to the sixth grade. Take it from me. I'm your brother. I'm in the 12th grade, you know? I'm trying to go through university here and get my degree in spiritual development and evolution and being a kind, gentle, nice, friendly person, giving money away, greeting people, saying nice things. I watch my tongue. I try not to say evil things, bad things. If I make a mistake, I ask God for forgiveness. You know, that simple. You can turn things back. You can change things around with a prayer. I tell you, you can. So, my friends, I think I'm just about down on time here, and I've got 6:58. Let me pray. Now, please go out there tonight, look up at the stars, and say, ETs, where are you? Please help us. We need your help. You are awesome. Okay, I got 1 minute left. We love you because you're beings just like us, sentient beings. You're created by the Creator, and the Creator is awesome, powerful beyond comprehension, supreme creator of the universe. You are awesome. We love you so much. Thank you for the miracles of all creation. Please bless us, everybody, all your children, because we are related to you, Supreme Creator. That's it, my friends. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.